Ready for the word tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's so good, amen, to have with us, amen, for these four services, amen. Pastor, evangelist, I said last night, we called him Brother Slash, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But how many of those titles don't mean a thing? God's not impressed with the titles. Amen. They have significance, but God's not moved by them. Hallelujah. And neither is hell. Amen. But there is a difference when behind the title is a steadfast servant and an anointing, amen, that destroys the yoke of the enemy. And I'm thankful that, amen, praise the Lord, that, amen, we have someone like that with us for these four services. Amen. Again, we're just thankful for him tonight. So I want him to come and just bless the Lord, obey the Lord. He knows, you know, amen, praise God. So buckle your seatbelt, unbuckle it, do whatever. Hallelujah. Amen. That's your call. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Give Jesus a hand tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We get along to your pastor tonight. Amen. Give your pastor a hand. Take in what God is doing here. There is a very just a precious anointing that's up here.
Hallelujah.
You can just feel it. Some of you are saying, we don't have any worship music. We don't have
come on.
I just feel the Spirit of the Lord just sweeping through the house. My life has been made better. Because of him. I'm telling you, if you can just tonight, just whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, it's not too big for God. There isn't a thing in this world that intimidates the Almighty. No doubt that on the way here that some of us in our minds were thinking maybe I should just turn around and go back home. It's not going to change. Maybe this morning when you got up, you had to force yourself to get out of the bed. You think to yourself, it's not going to change. And as the enemy may be banging on your door, I'm going to tell you that he's about to devour everything that you hold near to you and everything that you hold dear.
Come on.
There is still yet a covenant. I need you to know tonight that the anointing of God destroys every yoke.
Come on.
It destroys every yoke. Your God is faithful.
Come on.
He is able. Oh, he is rich in his blessings. He is rich. He is, I tell you what, we talk about all the monetary terms of things. I like to talk about the oil, the anointing, that there is no shortage. He is not running out of supply on breakthroughs.
Come on.
He's not running out of supply on miracles. He is not running out of supply. Can somebody give Jesus a praise tonight? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I thank God for what I feel in here. Amen. The Lord has been dealing with me the last little bit about this message. And I had a problem. My phone didn't connect over to my iPad and send all my stuff over. So when I was back there, I came up here and I was like, wait, there's a verse that's missing. And so I thank God for your media team for just, enduring me. We thank God for them. Thank God for each and every one of you in here tonight. We give honor to every person in here. Amen. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. We can stand for the reading of the word. Matthew chapter 12. We're actually going to go to verse 33. I told the media team 34. We're going to start at 33 and go to 34. Matthew chapter 33, or Matthew chapter 12, I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 and 34. Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 and 34. It says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye be evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance, somebody say abundance.
Amen.
Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. From the abundance of the heart. And I want to read this definition to you. And the word abundance is defined as this. Amen. Let me get it back pulled up here. This is where it didn't go over my iPad. I told Brother Jeff today, I was like, every time I come up here, I have some kind of flub or something happens. It never fails. And I was like, man, I thought I was going to escape yesterday. I was like, oh. Then I get in here last night, just trying to make everybody, because we started reading this verse, and I felt something like, where's he going with this? So just relax. But I got in here last night, and I got to sweat, and I took my preacher towel, I was getting that sweat off the back of my neck, and I messed up the back of my hair. And this whole side over here, I know they thought that was some kind of peacock or some kind of and I had no idea. And got up here preaching, and then Pastor Jeff told me that he's like, yeah, he's like, I saw it. And I had no idea, so I went to the bathroom and after service, and I was changing. I looked in the mirror and I saw my hair and I said, every time it's always something. I either say something wrong, you just have to be there. I'm not telling you. And then I get out there, and there's some people that want to take a picture of me, and I was like, let me fix my hair real quick because the wind or something caught one, and I fixed it. And they were like, yeah, the back of your hair was like. So I told Pastor Jeff that, I was like, bro, why didn't you tell me? Get my ticket. I was like, I didn't want to interfere. So if you saw it, I apologize. Praise the Lord. But abundance tonight, the word abundance is defined as this in the Greek. Abundance in which one delights, of that which fills the heart, that which is left over, and the residue. The residue. The residue. I want to talk to you tonight about the mouth of a miracle.
Well,
the mouth of a miracle. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The heart of you is the foundation of you. It's not your feet. Because it is by your heart is where you're founded. It's where you're rooted. That when you speak, you'll know the foundation of where somebody is. People will tell you who they are.
Right.
And your prayer will say who you are if you pray.
Yeah, yeah.
The abundance in what's inside of here. So many of us have came in contact with situations and scenarios that have forever altered us, either for the good or the bad, if we allow them to continue to run our life. But the abundance, the residue of your heart, speaks louder than you realize. The miracle has a mouth. You are a miracle. You're a miracle. When I was diagnosed with cancer, for those of you, I've shared my testimony all over the country in 2012. Amen. I had a scar that remains. The cancer wasn't there, but I have a scar that's there. The scar, I don't look at it as a trauma. I look at the scar as what the miracle says.
Yeah.
That I'm forever changed.
Amen. Come on.
Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing tonight. I thank you for what I feel in this house, Lord. Father, we praise you, Father, for what you're going to do. Father, we thank you, Lord, for every person that is in this room, Father. I thank you, Father, for every healing that you're doing. I thank you, Lord, that depression is leaving, anxiety is leaving. Father, I thank you, Lord, that a double portion is coming, Father. I thank you, Lord, that even now, Lord, you are speaking to the embers of our hearts. For those of us who feel like our fire is just going out, but our fire right now, Lord, you are breathing into the embers and increase is coming. Father, I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do, the increase that we're going to overcome. Father, Lord, I thank you for what you're going to continue to do in this revival. We give you the praise, the glory, and all the honor in Jesus' mighty name. Judah Tabernacle, can you give Jesus Christ your most excellent praise in this house? very familiar passage of scripture. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, I pray, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. And I want to stop right there. Stop putting impossibility in front of your oil. Stop saying that I don't have this, I'm not that. If you're anointed, your anointing is greater than what you're saying negative about yourself. You have to stop saying, I'm not this, I'm not that. The woman, she immediately tells the man of God, she goes, I have nothing in my house except for a pot of oil. She puts nothing ahead of the anointing. She puts the situation in a greater magnitude than who God is. And every one of us do this so many times. And when our language changes, young people, listen to me. You are, every one of you are going through pivotal moments in your life right now. You're going through pivotal moments in your life right now. I need you to know that you are more than what you're thinking about yourself.
Come on.
You are more than what you've been through. You're more than what's happened. You're more than the negativity of this world. Do not ever, ever, ever put the wound ahead of the worship.
Come on.
The anointing is so much greater. Don't ever, when somebody says, well, can you pray for me? Well, I'm not the preacher, or I'm not this. No, you have something great. If you're a child of God, I'm telling you, if you're a spirit filled, if you're saved, if Jesus, you gave your life to him, you are more. Your value immediately has increased. Yeah. You have immediately changed. Ever say I'm not enough. He made you more. You are more. You are more than conquerors because of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm thankful for him today. And some of us older folk, we've got to stop saying, well, because just as much as the young people are going through it, you older folk need to change how you talk to. You see, scripture says to love your neighbor as yourself. And your love will be ineffective if you can't have it inside of you. I can't give you what I don't have.
Come on.
Mercy, I didn't know I was going to start off teaching tonight. But if I can't give you something that I don't have. Jesus is able to speak peace to the storm because peace lives inside of him.
Yeah.
He's able to give it.
Come on.
And so you can't love your neighbor like you if you don't love you.
Right. Come on.
I can't give you what I don't have. I can smile at you and I can do all of these things, but until I love myself, not in a great majestic way thinking I'm some big something, but you got to love yourself. And one of the reasons why you need to love yourself is because of who God made you to be and how he made you. Some of you are wondering why the devil hates you so much. Go all the way back to Genesis. Go all the way back to Genesis, and I'll tell you right now one of the main reasons why the enemy hates you. It's because the Lord says, let us make man in our image. And when he sees you, he sees the image of God and he hates it. You are a reflection of the creation of God. That's the reason why you need to love yourself. You need to look at yourself and say, man, God made me. And we don't all look the same. We don't all walk the same. We don't all talk the same.
Come on.
But we are made in the image of God. And that's the reason why the kingdom of hell hates you so much, because it wants to destroy the vessel that God made. So you need to love yourself because God made you.
Come on.
Amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand. She said, I have not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, go borrow these vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. That's so powerful. And it came to pass when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. That word means to endure, remain. It survives something. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Can I tell you that you will never be the same when you've come in contact with a miracle?
Amen.
You are never the same when you come in contact with a miracle. This woman goes through this hardship. She's about to lose her sons. No doubt everybody in the area knew. We've heard this message so many times. So many times. But I don't want to, just like we did Sunday morning, I don't want to come at it from the perspective of the woman. I don't even want to come at it from the perspective of the sons. I want to come at it from the perspective of the vessels. I want to come at it from the perspective of what was available to be used. And I want to come at it from the perspective of the people that we don't see in this chapter. The people who said, here, you can use my vessel. You can use my vessel. And you have to understand that there were vessels that were given to her that were not empty. Because it says, and even empty vessels. It's very specific that she got vessels that had stuff in it, and she had vessels that were empty. And that woman had to do something with the vessels that had something in them. Because sometimes you're going to come in contact with people who want to help you, and then they need help themselves. You're going to come in contact with people who say, I want to be there, I want to be available, and but they've got some issues. And it's when you trust God, you say, Lord, I want to be a vessel. I want to be a vessel. I want to be used to the uttermost. Father, I want you to use me, whatever you need. I don't care. And I've said this many times. Well, I travel all over the country. It's not about the title to me. Baby, just give me the towel. And then some of us, we need to get back to the towel. And then I don't care about the title. Just give me the towel. And I told people, I said, listen, if the Lord was to tell me right now, I want you to come off the road. I don't want you to preach no more. I just want you to clean the churches and all that. I said, Lord, give me a toothbrush and I'll clean the toilets. I'll do whatever you need me to do. Whatever I can do to help the kingdom of God, that's what I want to do.
Come on.
If you've got to have somebody acknowledge you in some kind of great way,
come on.
You have to have some kind of recognition. Honey, you need to find yourself in repentance. You need to find yourself back in the altar and get back to the basics of things. Get back to the drawing board. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's all about Jesus. But we've got to be available, and we've got to be a vessel. And if you're going to be an effective vessel, you've got to trust your vessel with his hands. And no doubt that when the man of God tells her, he says, all right, we're going to have to get you to come out here. Amen. Let's everybody pray real quick. This moment to see what you're doing. Lord, let them see all of this and say, well, it had to be this and it had to be that. And then she'll say, no, Jesus came and done a great work. Father, we thank you, Lord. We don't understand why things happen when they do, but we know, Father, that your will is so much greater than ours. Father, we praise you, Lord, in advance. How can we magnify Jesus? We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I am fully persuaded that for everything, sometimes we have these moments and say, what's going on? But God has a reason. I was in a revival about 2 months ago, and there was a man who had drove 3 hours to be in the revival. And his sugar, he was diabetic, and his diabetes had got to the point that it would skyrocket, or it would bottom out, and it would cause him to have seizures. All day that day, his sugar had been over 200. And he came to the revival that night, and he said to me, he said, Brother Jeremy, he said, I believe God is going to touch me tonight. I said, I believe your miracle's already in the house. I said, I believe your miracle started working before you left your house today. And we began to pray for him. And I told him, I said, this is not going to be an issue anymore. That's the kind of faith that I have.
Amen.
That's the kind of faith that I have.
Amen.
See, sometimes we see these moments and the enemy would immediately go to work and say, well, if you had faith, then why did you do this? If you had faith, why did you do that? Can I tell you that in the scripture, and me and Pastor were talking about this, that in the scripture, and when Jesus walked this earth, that there was always a bad report first.
Come on.
There was always a bad report first. There is a reason why. There's a reason why. And what happens is where man says there's no way. Man says there's this. Man says there's that. Doctors will tell you, you're going to deal with this the rest of your life. The devil is a lie.
Amen.
And I believe that God strategically moves and strategically does what he does for a reason. If you notice that in the scripture, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace, and the strong men that threw them in there, they were devoured and consumed by the fire. But howbeit that Nebuchadnezzar was able to get up off of his seat and walk to the mouth of the furnace to see four men loose. Because God makes an audience. He creates an audience. He wants the enemy to see what he does. And I believe that as little Janae is out there and they're doing all this stuff, I believe that God is going to turn this thing just like that. Just like that. And that man that came with that diabetes, we began to pray for him. And all through the service up until that moment, his sugar was over 200. Can I tell you that when we began to pray, that his sugar dropped to right at the normal level, which I believe is what, 70? Something like, does anybody know? It's like 71. His sugar dropped to that level. And it has never changed from that moment. He's never had another seizure. God knows what he's doing. Who knows? Who knows that what God allowed for that to happen? Don't let the enemy get you and say, oh, well, we didn't believe or this. No, the devil is a liar. I believe God strategically sets things up. Moments for God to operate. God will put you in places to be a vessel. Sometimes you'll have things happen to you and you say, God, why didn't you do it right then? Why didn't you do it right then? It's because your miracle is not for them. It's for them when they get there.
Come on.
Your miracle is not for them. It's for them when they get there. Because there's somebody that needs to see you. There's somebody that needs to hear the testimony that you're going to give them. My miracle of cancer in 2012, there were people that all over that were praying and were believing. But here's the thing. The miracle sometimes is not for the believer. It's for the unbeliever. And ain't it something that God will allow you to be surrounded by unbelievers to do his miracle? He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. That's how he operates. He operates in a way that we can't even fathom. See, Lord have mercy. Just to tell you how amazing God works that I have seen for myself. That there, and I don't remember if I shared it here, but last year around October, I found out that I had broke my foot, and it had been broke for 2 years, and it kept breaking over and over and over and over again. And I thought that it was something else was wrong. I thought maybe I had like the worst case of gout you've ever had. Or maybe I thought there was something in my diet that I needed to change that was causing this. And it would get so bad I could barely walk on my left foot. So I go to the doctor, and my wife had been on me for 2 years. I'm very stubborn. And amen, amen, baby. They some sisters too. She said, oh man, they some sisters. That's why I tell the truth, Shannon. You know what I'm saying? So I go and they've done all these labs on me because they were telling me that maybe it's not gout, but you can actually get strep, like strep throat. You can actually get it in your bones. I've never heard that. So they do the lab work, they do the blood work on me, and then they say, all right, we're going to do an x-ray also of your foot. So the lab work's going to take some time to get back to me. The x-ray we can find out in a moment. I've never broke a bone in my life, ever. Never broke a bone. And they come in there and go, we don't even know how you're walking around. And the lady, my doctor, she goes to my church. She owns her own clinic. She has been treating me. She would send me like the medicine that I would need for inflammation and stuff, make the swelling go down. So she's known. She's known the way I preach, the way I run around and act crazy. She's known that I go jogging. She knows that I go to the gym. And all the while I was doing this with a broke foot. And she says, I don't know how you're walking right now. She says, because your foot's broken. I was like, get out of your mind, child. My foot ain't broken. And she says, no, really. And she shows it to me. Sure enough, there's the break. So she gives me the boot and everything, and I'm like, well, I'm not going to slow down. I've still got appointments. I've still got assignments to go. The following Saturday, it was weird, but because it was the clinic and because her office stays open, they got the lab results. I was preaching in Jacks Creek, Tennessee, and I was leaving from there, the homecoming service, or the candidate service, rather, excuse me, leaving from there that morning after I finished preaching, and I was driving straight to Mobile, Alabama to preach a youth service. And on the way there, I get the phone call. They tell me, they said, listen, your lab results came back and you got lupus. And my kids are in the back of the RV. My wife is sitting there. And I said, well, I don't know much about lupus. I've heard people talk about it. They said, well, it's an incurable disease. There's no cure for lupus, but we can treat it. And you'll deal with it the rest of your life. But you come up here as soon as you can, and we can get you on the medications, and we can get you in the treatment that we need you to be on. And I was like, man. And what I found out was your lupus causes your body to fight within itself. It's, your immune system shuts down, and it doesn't operate the way that it's supposed to. And so they give you these medications. In my mind, I'm thinking, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? But I'm also thinking, I'm not going to let this stop me. I'm not going to let this stop me. I didn't know why it came when it did. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. And so I just thought, well, I still got to preach tonight. I still got an assignment. I still got to be dad. I still got to be husband. I still got to preach. I still got to serve. Don't know why this came when it came, but here it is. But we're going to go forward. And I told Ashley, I shot her a text message. And I said, listen, don't say nothing out loud. I said, don't even say nothing to the kids. Because my daughter, she's one of those, she's very empathetic to everybody. And I didn't want her having a breakdown before we got to church. And she's going in there crying, worrying about daddy, because daddy's going to be fine. I've seen him do too much already. I've seen him do too many miracles already. And so
come on.
We go and we preach and everything. And I was dealing with fatigue. And I just thought it was because, you know, you pour out so much and different things. And I just said, you know what, God, I thank you in advance. I'm just going to go ahead and walk in my miracle now before it even gets here. I'm going to walk and praise you like I never even got diagnosed with it. I'm going to walk and praise you, Lord, like you're doing it already. And sometimes when those things happen, you wonder why. And I thank God, amen, that when I went for more lab work, and when I turned 40, they got some more lab work. And I wonder what it was like for the doctor that had to shoot the text message to say your blood was clear.
Amen.
I can tell you now that I don't have lupus. I can tell you now that God gave me a miracle. I can tell you that I can go in the room with people and you're a doctor, and I've got a text message on my phone from a doctor that says, you don't have what we said you had. That's something that I can show to somebody. It becomes a miracle. The residue of the oil of the miracle speaks. There is a residue that will speak. And I know the enemy wars in your mind. He tells you, he'll tell you this, he'll tell you that. But God knows what he's doing when he's doing it. You just got to say, Lord, let me be a vessel that can be used in the most crazy places. Let me be used. Let me be used, Father, in places where I don't feel like I belong. Let
Come
me
on.
Be used in spite of my situation. Let me be available. Let me be available. And then when they brought these vessels to this woman, the sons, they go out and get it. Not all the vessels were empty. So many times I've always heard that when they got to her, that she had all these empty vessels, but they were not. They brought vessels, even empty vessels. Not just empty, but there were some of them with some stuff in it. And they took those vessels with things in it, and when they got behind closed doors. You see, those people, no doubt, those sons that went to those houses knocking on the doors, they said, no, I know her. They repoing everything. See, when you're coming, when you fall into that category, the way it works, it's a bank vault. But they'll say, well, what can we get out of you to pay your debt back? Who knows, she could have had a plow out there that come and got. They could have already, it got so bad that it got to the point that now they're coming to get her sons. She says, I ain't got nothing in my house anymore. They done took everything. They took my sofa. They took, we don't have nothing. I've got my sons, that's all that's left, and they're going to have to pay off the debt. And so no doubt the neighborhood knew, because the world was not as populated as it is now.
Come on.
It wasn't as populated as it is now. You take a small town, it's kind of like a church sometimes. You let one thing happen to one person, honey, it's everywhere. Child, would you hear? Amen. You don't have to telephone no more. You just tell a member. And so no doubt that there were people, because under the law, you were to lend and not borrow. So she's already, he said, go and borrow vessels. Go and borrow vessels. And no doubt that when they went to the houses and knocked on the door, there were prophets of him that said, man, I'm not touching your situation. I don't want nothing to do with it. But I imagine that there may have been some people that said, you know what? My heart is going out for this situation. And I want to give to a vessel. I want to give what I have. It's not much. I got this old flower pot, and the plants ain't growing in it. It's just sitting here. It's saying it had no growth in it in years. I don't know what's wrong with it, but this vessel, I've got it here, and it's just not even operating the way it wants to. And maybe you can get some use out of it.
Come on.
Lord, I've tried it my way, and it's not working. So I'm going to make myself available. And so these people that gave their vessels, the vessels had to leave their sight. Mm-hmm. To be an effective vessel, you got to trust God when he takes you behind closed doors outside of what you can see. She took those vessels. He said, now when you get the vessels, you got to get them in your house and you got to close the door behind you. This is what I got to thinking about. Ain't it something that people, even that had stuff inside, maybe there was something in those vessels that had something wrong with them, that they said, listen, I know it's got this, but just overlook it. And it's kind of like when we say, well, come on over to the house, just overlook my house. You know, we don't mind if you want to visit. And I'm on them kind of people like, I didn't come to see your house. I came to see you. He knows what's wrong with you.
Come on.
He sees you. But he's not looking at what's wrong to stop him from working.
Come on.
He's not looking at the situation and saying, I'm not going to use this. No. You want to look at the scripture. We got a man, Saul, who was after the church. But he was there when Stephen was stoned to death. And God did not say, Jesus, don't worry with him. Jesus says, it's kind of hard for you to kick against the prince. He says, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. But I don't look at what you've been doing to disqualify you from being a vessel for me. I don't look at what happened to you to disqualify you to not be used by me. That woman said, listen, I need all the vessels that I can get. The harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. He wants everybody that wants to be used.
Come on.
No doubt there was somebody that had a vessel that had been trying to get some things out of there, and maybe there was cracks in the vessel, or maybe on the outside it wasn't that pretty, and they said, this is all I have, it's enough. It's enough. It's enough. It's enough. And when the doors closed, those people that made themselves available didn't see what was happening behind closed doors. If you only knew what God was doing when you weren't looking, if you only knew how he was changing the situation when you couldn't see, he had to get you away from you. Somebody, that don't make no sense. Yes, it does. You're your own worst enemy. But when you say, Lord, I'm going to give you me, I need you to do what I can't do. Take me somewhere I've never been and do something that's never been done. That's what I'm trusting you to do. I need you, Jesus, to make this mess into a miracle. Even before it can be a message, it's got to be a miracle. It's got to be a testimony.
Oh, come on.
Take those vessels into the house, and the ones that were not empty became soon empty. See, not everybody can handle your mess in their house. But Jesus sees all of our messes. And he said, oh, I can still work with this. This can still hold oil. Look at your neighbor and say, you can still hold oil. You can still hold oil. You can still hold it. I went to a mall, and I can't remember what state I was in, but in this mall, they had a pair of Jordans for another thing. I'm a shoe fiend. I recently learned that word. I'm a shoe fiend. I love Jordans. My wife got me my first pair of Jordans 2 years ago. We were so poor. I would see kids that wear Jordans and never had a pair of Jordans in my life. And for Christmas 2 years ago, because I've never had a pair, my wife got me a pair of Jordans. I didn't want to wear them. I just wanted to look at them. Never had a pair in my life. And so we were there at this shoe store, and it was basically shoes that were just anomaly shoes. I mean, they were just shoes you didn't think you'd ever see again. And in this store, they had this case, this glass case, and inside of the glass case was a pair of Jordans. And this pair of Jordans, when I looked at it, was worth like $70,000. $70,000. And they were not intended to be worn anymore. But the reason why the value went up was because who had put them on? Somebody's getting it. And I looked and I said, my goodness. Ashley said, no. Man, those things cost more than our trailer. I know, listen up. And I was like, man, ain't it something? We'll get online and you'll look at somebody's net worth. How much their net worth is. You'll say, how much is so-and-so worth? Oh, they're worth a few million dollars. Like, and I like how when people say, I think it's worth a few million dollars. I'm like, I say that joke, but I'm going to change that here in just a minute. And I've seen concerts, and I've seen, people who were extras on movie sets and stuff like that, and they would get something. Maybe it was a glass that a movie star used. They had just used it just for that day, and they will sell it on eBay, something that you can go to Walmart, and you could have bought for 10 bucks or maybe 5 bucks, and because of who used it, the value increases. I have seen where people had, because I was a big wrestling fan, huge wrestling fan when I was a kid. And I had seen where somebody had found one of the Macho Man's old hats that he had. And this thing is worth like $10,000 or $15,000 now just for this cowboy hat. And the reason why it was so valuable was because he wore it, when he wore it, and all of this stuff, the value increased because of who was wearing it, who had it, because of the vessel is no longer the same once a certain scenario happens. Can I tell you that your value has increased dramatically because you know Jesus, because of the oil that is in your life, because of the anointing that is on you. You are precious. There isn't anything in this world that holds the weight of your anointing. There isn't anything in the world. There isn't a bank in the world. There isn't a Fortune 500 company that is as valuable as you are. And it is because of the oil. It's because of the blood. It's because nothing ever speaks the same once Jesus comes in the room. Once he's had contact with Christ, it is forever changed. It is forever molded differently. You are no longer the way you used to be. You are no longer pointless. Now you're priceless. People would say it's pointless to talk about it. The devil would say it's pointless to even try. You need to tell the devil, back up, boo-boo, because of the blood. I'm not pointless. I'm priceless.
Come on.
If you were so worthless, why would he want you so much? If you were so worthless, why would he want you so much? Have you ever seen a thief break into a house and not steal anything unless something in the house was worthless? But how come Jesus says that he's a thief and a robber? Why is he trying to steal your joy if your joy wasn't something he can't handle?
Come on.
Some of you, the devil is window shopping you. Tell him to window shop all you want because I'm out of your price range.
Come on.
Some of you young people, listen to the young ladies. Don't you settle for some boy who don't appreciate you.
Come on.
If he's wanting you to send things to yourself and compromise you and get you. Let me tell you something. You're worth more.
Come on.
You matter more than just your body. You matter
more than just your body. And if they gotta see your body, but they don't want to give you attention, baby, they ain't worth your time. And if they ain't worth your time, find you a kingdom man. And I'll tell you, the first kingdom man you need to look for, and that's Jesus. And if you follow out with Jesus, he'll send you the man you need. Sisters, and then you gotta get yourself in line, man. Quit falling after this man and that man, repeating the same thing over and over again.
Come on.
Young men. Young men.
Come on.
I don't care how pretty she is. I don't care. She can have red lips and swinging hips and be saved on the Sunday.
Come on.
Sisters are wanting knights and shining armor, but settling for manure and aluminum foil.
Come on.
You want to find out if he's really into you? You want to find out if she's really into you? Crank your worship music up.
Come on.
If you want to change your station to get their attention, that ain't who you need. You need to save you.
Come on.
Stay in line with the kingdom. You're more valuable than that. You're not a punching bag. You're not a doormat. Baby, you are a priceless commodity. You belong to the kingdom. Don't you dare put yourself in a compromising position to keep somebody's attention. Because at the moment at the altar,
come on.
You have the attention of the king. And you didn't have to compromise. You didn't have to sin to do it.
Hallelujah.
Keep yourself.
Yes.
You want to find out if they're really into you? So I'm not going to bet an auto and tell them to put a ring on it. You say you can be my friend, we'll go to church together.
Yeah.
Be my friend. Be my prayer partner.
Yeah.
Let's be decent about it.
Yeah.
Don't let your good be evil spoken of.
That's right.
Oh, mercy, I didn't know it was going to go this way.
Come on.
But the fact of the matter is, the enemy is operating inside of churches through temptation.
Yeah.
The anointing is attractive to Jezebel. Jezebel seen something she couldn't attain, and she wanted to cut corners to get it. But when she couldn't cut the corners, she got mad and sent out the assault team. Can I tell you, the enemy will come at you with depression and anxiety and fear because you said no. You'll be alone the rest of your life. That was the one you.
Come on.
Oh, mercy. Yeah, I know I'm in the vein now. I'm here. If they're getting mad at you because you're at church so much and you're just dating, you choose the kingdom. Let Ken cry at home.
Come on.
I'll pray for you, baby. Me and Jesus, we got to go on. You have to have yourself in alignment with him. You are a vessel that is priceless. You are a treasure. You are a treasure. You are the kingdom of heaven on this earth. You are the kingdom. That's who you are.
Yeah.
You are a reflection. You're a reflection. A reflection is something that you see and you say, man, that is amazing.
Come on.
Young people, listen to me. Some of y'all older folk need to chime in too on this one. I really feel like just pulling towards the young people. Recently, I've done a youth service, and I said that inside of every individual's house, there are two mirrors. Now, I'm not talking about like your house where you got a mirror in like every room. You got a rear view mirror in your car. You got the visor mirror. But in the house of your mind, there are two mirrors. And every individual lives their day by the mirror that they dress by. You have the kingdom mirror, which is the God mirror. And then you have the flesh mirror. That's the insecurities. That's what you dress yourself by. You look in that mirror and you see everything that's wrong with you.
Yeah.
And when you leave your house by looking at that reflection, that's how your day is going to go.
Yeah.
But when you look in God's mirror,
come on.
And you speak as that reflection speaks, because you speak as what you see. You dress as what you see. You begin to walk when you leave your house. Be the reflection of his perfection.
Don't leave your house and say, oh, well, it's going to be another day. You got to. No. It's not going to be another day. It's going to be a new day. When you leave your house, the vessel that you are.
Come on.
So these vessels are in this woman's house, and their value has went up exponentially. And I got to reading about it, and I said, my goodness, these vessels are never the same. Maybe that woman had that flower pot that she couldn't get anything to grow in. Here's the thing. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The residue of the foundation. The oil hits the foundation. Now, when she takes those back, do you know how hard it is to get oil out of something after it's been sitting for a little while? I imagine that once she sold it, there was an urgency to get the vessels back where they needed to go. Can I tell you, when the vessels went back, they didn't go back the same. Those vessels did not go back empty.
Come on.
The vessels went back with a miracle inside of them.
Come on.
From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and the oil stayed in every vessel, because every vessel was in the house. The oil stayed. Even though she poured out from everywhere else, the vessel, those oil, the stains, the remnant, the residue of the miracle was there. And when those vessels went back, the residue
Come
of
on.
What happened in that house was happening in who made themselves available. Baby, I am the residue of Calvary. I am
Come
the
on.
Residue of the kingdom. I am something that survived what could not survive. I am the child of God. If you only knew who you were, the reason why you matter is because you are the residue of your Father's heart.
Come on.
So they go back to the house. And they're never the same. And no doubt what couldn't grow before, all of a sudden it begins to grow. The mouth of a miracle. It never talks the same again. I imagine, you know, Sunday morning we talked about if that stone could talk. If it could see and if it could hear. Imagine if that vessel could talk. Oh, you should have been in the room. I'll never be the same again. Oh, if you'd have been in the room. The overflow that began to happen. I watched impossibility. I watched bankruptcy get turned up on its head. I watched a mother's tears dry up, turning from tears of pain and fear to turning to tears of pain and praise, or from pain to praise. I saw worship with my own eyes. And then all of a sudden, as she was pouring out those vessels, I began to feel something inside of me where I was once empty, where I was once barren, and where I used to just put in a closet and was forgotten about. I found myself being used in such a way that I felt the oil. I felt something. I felt a miracle. I can never talk the same again. I'll never
Come
be
on.
The same again. There's something about the blood of Jesus that changes us. I will never be the same.
Come on.
And now, and I've yet to get to go. And I pray, and if it ain't in God's will, it's not his plan. If it don't get to happen, that's fine. Because I know I'm going to be with him in eternity. But I've always wanted to go to the tomb. Always wanted to go. Now think about this for a second. A borrowed tomb that was worthless and its only purpose was death is now the mouth of a miracle.
Come on.
People are paying thousands of dollars to get over there just so they can walk to a vessel and walk inside that vessel. He's not there. It speaks. Emptiness speaks of what's not there. My body is a vessel that speaks that there's no cancer there.
Amen.
The mouth of a miracle will tell you what's not there in a good way.
Come on.
The mouth of the miracle will tell you the lupus is not there. The mouth of the miracle will tell you that the victim is not there.
Come on.
It'll tell you the depression is not there. It'll tell you that all of the things that should have killed me, it is not there. But there is something there. There is a residue. There is something speaking out of this vessel. There's something coming out of this heart. It's the heart of a miracle. It's the heart of breakthrough. Baby, I'm telling you, the anointing will grave. That's amazing about it. As much as I want to go over there and see where he laid, walk where he walked, I realize as much as I want to, I don't have to go where he was. Not only am I going, but I've gotten. He's in me. He's in me. He's in me. He's in you and your priceless. He's in you.
Come on.
And you're priceless. Right. Inside of you, you don't have to walk to the tomb, because the one who walks out of tombs is walking in you. The one who walked out of death is walking in
Come
you.
On.
That's the reason why you should say, Lord, I'm thankful that I'm not priceless, because he does not linger in graveyards.
Come on.
Maybe he lingers in vessels that want to be available. He is not lingering inside of death. He is living inside of hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You are a miracle. Whether you see it right now or not, you need to know you are called for a purpose.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The mouth of a miracle. You see, I'm not worried about my net worth. Not worried about it, because this earth can't measure my worth. Because even right now, my Father is preparing a mansion. Preparing a mansion for me. Inside of me, I became more valuable because of who he is. I never have to settle. Do anything else to me ever again. My language ain't the same, because a miracle speaks when I speak.
Yeah.
Some of you should be dead. Right. You should be dead. Right. But when you open your mouth, a miracle is talking. So why would you be silent? Why would you be silent? Why don't you let that miracle ring through the atmosphere?
Come on.
I am survived by a king, by a miracle. I'm closing. But as I began to read that passage of scripture, and I got to that one passage, that there were vessels. My whole life, I thought that every vessel was empty. Until I read that, and I was like, wait a minute. They brought vessels, even empty vessels. Why would we have to say that there were empty vessels if there weren't some that were not empty? Mm-hmm. And tonight, some of you have a vessel and you want to be used and you don't know how, because there's things that you can't get rid of. And I feel it again. I felt it so heavy. I felt this so heavy. But there are things that the master can do behind closed doors with your vessel that you can't even fathom.
Come on.
You can't even fathom what he can do. You're looking at the poster child of the prodigals. I was born in this, was raised in this, and I backslid bigger than all get out. Drugs, alcohol, I've shared it so many times.
I became a damaged
vessel. And I was like, man, I got stuff in here. There's no way, God, you could use me. Got too much wrong with me. Can't anybody use this vessel? I got the scar tissue of the messes that I've made. All the stuff that I've done. But the oil stays. It stays. You know, the oil will last longer than the trauma. The oil has a lifespan that outlives the lies of the enemy. The oil will survive longer than any controversy. Let your oil speak for itself.
Yeah.
When I came back to the Lord, I was like, man, I've wasted all this time. All this time. But the oil, the anointing, does not have a lifespan like we do. Because when I die, if I were to die tomorrow, the oil, the mantle that is on me, somebody else has got to pick it up. That oil, we're still talking about those vessels today and what God done. And so I had realized that the Lord dealt with me that I was living my life by a measuring stick. Because I was measuring myself by my mess. I was measuring myself by my mistakes. I was measuring myself by things that were wrong with me, where I thought I'm not this and I'm not that. And then the Lord dealt with me. You don't need to measure you by you because you didn't make you.
Come on.
How do you measure eternity? You can't. So you need to break, young people, you need to break your measuring stick where you're saying, I'm not this and I'll never be that. You need to break that measuring stick and say, I'm going to live by the measuring stick of eternity. And I'm going to go where He sends me to. I never thought that I would be in the rooms that I've been in. I never thought that I would go to the places that I went. No doubt those vessels that were in the houses of those people never thought that they would end up in the living room with miracles being poured out. Can I tell you, if you'll make yourself available, you'll be such a God will use you in such a way. You just got to be available. Just say, Lord, use me. That's all I want you to do.
Yeah.
Let's say it all over the house tonight. Oh, I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank you, Jesus, for what we're doing. Such a way.